Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesgo. Nico, how are you?
Russ Cohen, my man.
Let's talk a little World Baseball Classic right now. Tonight, as we speak, the Kingdom of the Netherlands are playing Puerto Rico. Interesting game. I saw that Met T.J. Rivera hit a home run. This kid's amazing. Like I wrote about him last year. It took the Mets forever to bring him up. He did nothing but hit when they brought him up. He's still sort of a guy without a position, but I noticed he's playing first base for them, and that could be a big deal because Lucas Duda has some injury issues, and Jay Bruce has only played first once or twice, so I think Rivera is going to end up getting quite a few at-bats this year. I just have a feeling.
That would be a good thing for the Mets. They need him. They need that power, and they need him right off the bat, you know, from the very beginning, opening day.
Yeah, it's just he gives an extra boost. Right now, last I saw that Puerto Rico was up on Kingdom of the Netherlands 3-2, which is basically a team of middle infielders. I mean, it is kind of a weird lineup. Like, everybody could play shortstop on that team.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome team, and it's going to be a great game. You know, I was sad to see, you know, Didi get injured there, and
yeah.
It's kind of a catch-22. You know, you want to play – and represent your country, but at the same time, you don't want to get hurt because you got the season coming up. And a lot of teams are real sketchy about letting their players play in these games.
Well, it's tough. I mean, this is going to be a big deal. If he misses any kind of significant games for the Yankees, it'll be a problem. I mean, they say it's no big deal, but, you know, everybody's always going to say it's no big deal, and then you have to just sort of see what transpires. But so far, it's the only injury, so I don't think we're going to get crazy about this.
No, we've seen the catcher for the Royals get hurt earlier in some of the games there. And, you know, this is an argument that these games should be after the World Series when you've got the champion, World Series champion, the Cubs coming off a great, remarkable win. Then you've got these games with the greatest players in the world. It's like another second All-Star game, and then you got a champion there. Then you can have the world champion play against the Cubs, or you know the World Series champions against the WBC champions, and then that would be a great championship every 4 years.
It would be, and maybe they'll tweak it, but I'm just not sure. They're setting attendance records already, so that's that's something where I think that's pretty impressive. It's been fun, I'll have to admit. I think it's getting better. You know, we enjoyed the Team Israel run. That came to an end, but that was a fun run. Now, you know, tomorrow we're going to see Japan and the U.S. I mean, that'll be an interesting game. I actually wrote an article today about the Mets and how they sort of blew it when they could have had Lee Croy as their catcher. And I've watched him in the series, and he looks good. They did trade for him. Texas did. And actually, I think the Mets are close to being a championship team, but they really need a catcher. I don't think Travis d'Arnaud is their catcher. So if people want to read it, they can go to Sportsology. But I've enjoyed watching a little bit of the U.S. team. That catch by Adam Jones the other night was one of the best catches I've ever seen.
Yeah, and the run that he had to make to even get there. You know, nobody even thought he would make it there, but he made it there and leaped, and it was amazing. He robbed his own teammates. What a great game it was.
Yeah, and Machado gave him a tip of the hat. That was a nice little throwback to old-school baseball. Now, if it was a regular season, they probably wouldn't have done that, but because it was in the tournament and they are teammates – they did it, and it made for something memorable. I think that's good for the game. I think, actually, this whole tournament has been good for the game. I mean, look, I'm not a big fan of the Vuvuzelas that make just all this ridiculous racket and everything, but I don't mind seeing fans excited. They're paying for their seats. They have a right to be. And I just think, we're seeing some pretty good baseball, but not everybody gets invited. That's just the way it is. You know, some players didn't get to play.
Yeah, and let's talk about it. What if it was after the season? I mean, it makes sense that all the players would be in top shape and prime time, ready to go. And then, like I said, if there are any injuries, it's in the they got the off season to recuperate, and they're not missing any game days.
Well, I don't know what the thinking is, other than the weather. But I think the weather in October is about the same as the weather in March. I think that's sort of a wash. So,
especially if you're in places like Arizona, California, you know, Miami, and Netherlands, and things like that, Japan.
And actually, it would be November. Actually, I forget. It would be in November. But still, you're right. If they're playing in the warm weather areas, I don't know. I think it's a better idea. There must be a reason why they chose it this way. There must have been something collectively bargained that they said, all right, I guess just because it's an extension of spring training, that's what they're counting as these guys' spring training. So I think that's what they're going with.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't know if these guys are getting paid to play. And you think
it's... No, they're not getting paid. It's the same thing reporting to your team.
They could have it. They could actually have it more marketable if they played it after the season, where the players could actually make a little bit of money, because it'd be prime time marketing. Baseball had just been, all the fans had just watched a great World Series, and then bam, the very next week you start the WC Classic. You got all the All Stars back in it, and the fans going crazy.
Yeah, I think they're probably, players are probably getting a cut of the jerseys and everything, and so that's. That's probably pretty big money. We see a lot of those things going, in the stadium. So I think that's something where they could certainly make revenue.
And MLP .TV is a remarkable multi-billion dollar industry there. They got all the games there. You can catch them all there just by downloading an app and playing there $100 a month, or a year, actually.
Yeah, it's a year. Yeah, it's a little over 100 a year. It's worth it, though. I mean, it's really that good, and I think we all enjoy it. We all have phones now that we could watch it on. Look, at times, even if I'm covering a hockey game, I could watch a baseball game. I do both. I'm one of those sports junkies, so it's a great thing. I really enjoy it, and it's a way for me not to miss games. So, yeah, it's cool. It doesn't look like, for the best that I can find out, it doesn't look like that even the winning teams have some sort of pot that they split or anything.
And here's the thing, too. When you look at the downloads and that they're going to get from international revenues on the MLB.TV, I remember a time, a little short story, I proposed the idea of all the Major League games being on the Internet, MLB.TV, and the executives had told me that the game of baseball is played live and everybody's been watching the game live for 200 years and all the baseball television contracts are live, and they didn't see it as a viable opportunity. And look at it, 10 years later, they decide to create MLB.TV, and it's a multi-billion dollar machine.
Yeah, well, the world has changed, certainly, and it's a shame at the time they just didn't have the vision. But now it's easy to have that vision, right? I mean, now you look at it and you say, of course it's this way. But, it's a shame. There's no way around it. But that's okay. I mean, we're in a great era here where we get to see this. And I think it's cool. I think it's really it's fun. Now, with Japan, U.S., what are you expecting? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I really expect America to lose. I mean, if they win this game, I mean, they're the underdogs. I would say Japan has won the WBC probably, three of the last four that I remember, something like that. I mean, dominant force, and when they get to the championship rounds, they're different pitchers than the Americans face all year round. I mean, most every Japanese pitcher, the ball sinks, and the way they throw it, it's a sinker, and it's moving, and it's twisting, and it's moving, and it's twisting, and then they can throw it straight. So it's more trickery, and America's really that. So when it gets to these games, they just want to play ball. Just give me the ball, and let's play. So there's going to have to be an adjustment. The USA, Team USA, is going to have to sit on the breaking ball and hit the breaking ball all day. because I'm sure they can hit the fastball and they'll be able to react. And if they do that, they do have a chance.
Well, I mean, Tanner Roark's going to be starting against Japan. I mean, he's a good pitcher. Stroman they're holding on to in case they get to the finals. That's Jim Leland's choice. Now, Chris Archer, you want to talk about him because he was expected to come back, but he hasn't come back.
And he threw four perfect innings. Now, how do you have a pitcher who threw four perfect innings who has been dedicated, he's been speaking, he's been very vocal about how what this game means to the world and how he plays the game and how this the game of baseball unites America. And with all that motivation within him, and for him to be throwing four perfect innings, and then for him not to be in the finals here when they really need him or even possible the final game, I just do not understand it, and I just don't even understand. You know, to me, it's the wrong choice.
But, you know, here's an interesting thing. So Daniel Murphy only has six at-bats in six games. How is he not a factor in this tournament? How are the U.S. not using him? I didn't realize that, and Dusty Baker is not happy about it.
Yeah, because if you've got the best hitter in Major League Baseball sitting on the bench, why is he there? He could be playing, getting ready for the season. I mean, who is managing? I mean, I saw Jim Leland there, but if he's been out of the game for like 10 years, I mean, I don't think his judgment is quite there right now. Because, you know, if any time you got Daniel Murphy on the bench, you're not thinking straight.
Yeah, the one thing about Leland is he really doesn't care what you think, and he probably doesn't care what the other managers think. Another interesting thing will be Andrew Miller and how they use him, because he's going to be – he's a real weapon. And so he's a guy that I would think they would have to go to him at some point in this game.
I think they've used him early on, and he got hit pretty good. I'm not sure if he's gone, you know, since then. So he hasn't been a real factor. They're still going to need him if they're going to beat Japan.
Yeah.
If they get the lead against Japan, they're going to need him because typically, you know, fastballs can blow. They need, you know, 100-mile-an-hour throws. You know, the heat at the end is kind of to beat Japan.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, you know, like I said, we'll see what happens with these games. I will certainly be watching the U.S. game. Like I said, can't say enough about the Adam Jones catch. I think that will be a highlight that will follow him the rest of his career in a good way. And so, you know, the play has been better than I kind of remember in the other World Baseball Classics that I would tune in and out of. Do you feel that way too?
Absolutely, because you're looking at all these teams, they're stacked. Every single team has major league players. I mean, our major league power. Look at Team Cuba. I mean, you saw one of the greatest power hitters in the world. And Despina, he hit almost a home run every single game, but it wasn't enough to bring him. I'm surprised that Cuba is not involved here in the final rounds because they definitely have a couple of the best players in the world. Even Cespedes, younger brother, I think he had actually better swing than Cespedes. I think he could
I watched him in Mets
prospect.
Camp. I have to disagree. I watched him in a couple of Met games. He looks like he needs work. He's skinny, too. He needs work.
So is he – oh, so he played against the Mets? They came out and played against the Mets? Cuba?
No, he played with – he played for the Mets. He was in a couple of the Met spring training games.
The younger brother?
Yes.
That's on Team Cuba now?
I don't know if he's on Team Cuba now, but
this
he plays
like
a
stepbrother. This is like a stepbrother that's on Team Cuba right now. He's like, I think he's like 19 years old or something like that.
Well, they did have who they said was a relative of Cespedes playing for the Mets. Let's see. I'll have to see who that was. But he played the other day.
On Team Cuba or the Mets? Team Cuba is...
It was Mets spring training. Maybe it was in between games for the series. I'm not sure. I'm looking.
Let's find out, because if the Mets have both the brothers, you know, in the big league together, that right there is enough to get them to the to the series. I mean, those are some remarkable players there. And like I said, I think the younger brother has more of an upside because he's got the youth and he's got more speed.
Yeah. All right, let's see. There's his half-brother who is playing for Cuba. That's the different. And then let's see who, if they have it.
Yeah, what's his name? His half-brother. He's going to be worth, like I said, if I were any major league club after watching these games, he's the first player as far as a hitter that I would pick.
It's Yoklis. And so, yeah, he but I swear, I thought I saw him in a – I guess maybe I was watching Cuba. I thought I saw them – that he was in action for the Mets. Oh, wait, he was. Wait, hold on. No. You know what? I guess I got him confused with somebody else. But, yeah, he is playing for Cuba, and I have seen him swing. I guess maybe they were showing highlights of him, and I was only half paying attention. I don't know if I'd sign him for the majors yet. We'll see.
No. He's ready. And like I said, he's going to be the next player. You can look for him to kind of like – I'm surprised he hasn't made a move to come to America during, you know, these games here. I would think over the next couple of weeks you'll see him make a move to stay, basically, and kind of join the ranks of his brother. And he's probably command, I would say, anywhere between 50 to 100 million to sign.
I don't think so. I mean, only because he's been out there. Everybody knows about him. The Mets have known about him for a couple of years. Now, he is only 19, so look, anything's possible. But
it's hard to get away from Cuba. You know what I mean? It's hard to get that way. But, you know, looking at 19, he's the best hitter they got other than the big bang, power hitting this bang. I mean, that guy should be playing right now in New York. I mean, bring him to New York, let him DH, and you want to see some home runs, the Yankees will definitely win the World Series with him at DH.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, again, these are guys in spring training. I don't think he's going to get a big contract. I think he could get a contract, but if I'm the Mets, I'm not going in heavy on his half-brother. I'm just not. I mean, I know he's got a good arm. The Mets are pretty loaded in the outfield. They really are. And so, I don't know. I'm a little torn about this.
Well, he would play center. He would play center, and basically he probably played for 20 years. And then he got his brother there play for another 10. And then, you know, we got to get it right.
Well,
the Bruce has got to come through. And
he's not going to play for 20 years, okay? I mean, I know it's nice to say that, but he's not going to play there for 20 years. Center field, they've got so many center fielders. Like, you know, they have Lagares, they have Granderson. There's not going to be a place for him. The Mets, there's no place for him to play for the Mets. That's the problem.
You just mentioned two center fielders that are not going anywhere. They're not the future of the Mets. So the Mets do not come.
Juan Lagares won a Gold Glove. I mean, he's pretty great.
He's not playing every day. I don't know why they don't play him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He does play, but he doesn't play every day. He'll come in for defense. He'll play every fourth, fifth day. But that's what I'm saying. Cespedes, his brother, who's he going to play over? There's Jay Bruce.
He would play center every day. If I was the owner and I was wanting to win a World Series, he'd be my everyday center fielder.
And you get a sick Granderson who literally hit 30 homers last year and had one of the best Septembers any hitter has ever had last year.
I trade him.
Well, they don't need pitching. The Mets are loaded with pitching, but they tried to trade Granderson, and there wasn't much. Most teams weren't interested.
Well, then sometimes you have to do like the Yankees and say, you know what? This is, like I said, we've got to go a different way. It's not about the home runs. I mean, he had a great September, but what about the whole year? I mean,
he hit 30 homers. He hit 30 homers.
No, but 220 and 30 homers, when you look at that, how many RBIs? You would think 30 homers, you would want at least 100 RBIs.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, in a perfect world, yes. But I'm just saying there is no guarantee if you bring in Cespedes' brother that he even gets close to that. I mean, there's no guarantee. He's 19.
Well, he brings another factor. He brings speed. He'll bring speed. He'll bring more stolen bases. He'll build more runs. So when you look at how many runs, when you look at his home runs, how many actually runs did he score? When you look at his runs plus his RBI, it's possibly under 100 total. When you look at what Cespedes could bring, his runs alone, he could do 100. And if he can drive in 40 to 50, that's 150. If you got a guy going 150 on runs and RBIs and production, those are my players to win the World Series. Sometimes you get a guy like me that do 100 and 100. And you, you got a 200 run man.
You're off on this because now Granderson did only hit 237, but he had 88 runs and 59
that's
RBIs.
Good. I expect 100 for him. So he had a little off year, but I that's good, 88. Now, how many
the
RBIs?
The year before, he had 98 runs. I mean,
that's good year. Now, how many RBIs?
He had only 59, but that's okay. He had an off year for that.
So that's a total. That's a total of what, 140?
It's actually 139.
Good. Okay. So if I can get suspended,
actually no, 144.
And I can pay him. Like I said, I'm going to pay him. Well, it's going to take a lot of money to pay him, but I could probably pay him less than the what I'm paying $20 million for Granderson.
Hold on. He's making less than that, I believe. Granderson's getting 16. Actually, no, 15. He's in the last year. He's in the last year of his deal. He gets 15.
Okay, so if he's in his last year, they're going to give him one more year. But I think, like I said, there's no way they're going to re-sign him for anywhere near that kind of money. He has a 200. I need a 200 production year. That's what I'm looking for these guys. I'm looking for Cespedes to have a 200 year. I need, Granderson, if he's going to have a 200. Somebody have a 200 year for the Mets if they're gonna be close, or some, have a couple of 150s on there. They need some players to score runs.
Well,
here's
the thing. The pitching's the best in baseball. Like, they have the deepest pitching in baseball. You always seem to come up a little harsh or expect more out of Cespedes than he gives. He had 31 homers. He had 86 RBIs. He scored 72 runs. He hit 280.
So let's add the RBIs and the runs. What's the total?
That is 158.
Okay, so he's a 158 guy. So he's over 150. So give me five of those guys. Can we get anybody close to that production? Anyone else in the Mets?
No, but
here's
the thing. Here's the thing. He only struck out 108 times, yet he walked 51 times. So his on-base percentage is .354. Like, he had a tremendous year. He really did.
He can do better. I mean, but he did the best, obviously. Is anyone better than that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, on the Mets, no. No.
Yeah. Right. So look,
no,
who's next
on
the Mets? We can pretty much count their runs that they're going to have.
Well, who's going to be next as far as homers and RBIs?
No.
It could be
runs and RBIs. You know, can you give me somebody who's going to get over 100?
No, nobody will get over 100. I mean, let me see what Reyes scored last year.
No, when you add up RBIs and runs, I need over 100.
Oh, yeah, Reyes will be over 100. He was 45 runs. Nah, he was about 69, but he only played 60 games last year. He'll play more games this year. He would have been over it. So Reyes will be one of those guys. I'm pretty sure Cabrera would be over that, even though he got injured too, but let's see. Cabrera, trying to find him here. Okay, he had 65 runs, 62 RBIs. Yeah, he was 127.
Dang, that's
Walker.
Low for him. That's low for
him.
Yeah,
he got hurt. He only played in 132 games. Well, he only played rather in he played in 141 games, but he was hurt. Walker, who did get hurt, only played in 113 games and still had 112. So you know he can do it if he stays healthy.
Combined?
Yes.
Yeah. But Daniel Murphy would have had 200 close to him. I mean, can you imagine if they still had Daniel Murphy there?
Yeah, but Walker's a way better fielder. I'd rather have Walker. I think Daniel Murphy can hit the cover off the ball, but he still can't make big plays in the field. So, you know, Lucas Duda probably won't have it. I don't know if he's going to play a full year. But so basically the way you want to do it is 1, 2, 3, 4. They'll have at least 5 guys that will have over 100 combined, and then there'll be a couple that will get close.
Say that's 700 runs when compared to what did the Cubs score last year? They probably scored over 1,000.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. When the Mets play the Cubs have a hard time hitting the Mets. And so that changes. So I'm not that worried about
it. Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is the Mets may not make it based upon their run production. If they don't get
the runs,
when you look at playing against the Cardinals have beefed up their offense when they added Fowler. I mean, they had, you know, like about 150 runs production.
No, but they'll make it. I mean, what we're not factoring in is there will be guys like Rivera. Like Rivera ended up getting, you know, he only got 100 at-bats, but he was pretty productive. Wilmer Flores, he basically ended up having 49, 79, 87 runs, and he only had 307 at-bats. That's really productive.
Yeah, no, those are my players every day. I can't believe he didn't play every day last year.
No, and that's what I'm saying. So there's a lot more productive. They're a lot deeper than they've ever been. So that's going to be a big help to them. Now, let's see if we went from 2 years ago with Lucas Duda. 2 years ago with Duda, we would have had 67 runs and 70, so he would have been 140. He could do 100. We'll see. He only played 47 games last year because of the injury. So,
well, just think if you got 8 players over 100, that's 800 runs, close to 1,000. That's what you need. I mean, when you got a team like that and some pitching, you're going to win a World Series.
Well, I'll tell you who I've left out, Jay Bruce, because he got traded to the Mets. I mean, of course, I can't count his Cincy numbers. For the Mets, he only had 169 at-bats, and he only scored 14 runs and only had 19 RBIs. This year will be a new year for Jay Bruce. If he produces three-quarters of what he normally produces, you got another guy with those numbers, too.
With 100, there you go.
Yeah.
So if they can get over 100 at every position,
they can't do it at catcher. They can do it at every position but catcher.
Well, there you go. You got to be strong up the middle. You know,
The other thing. You want to bring in Cespedes' brother, and Michael Conforto is going to be fighting for a spot on this team, and he's definitely better than Cespedes' brother.
Why is Wieters out there for so long? They should have went on down.
They should have, but I think I wrote about it. I think Sandy Alderson did not want to spend the money. You know, Wieters cost $10 million for 2 years, even though he's got an out in the second year. If he doesn't like the team, he could leave. Where the Mets are only paying $1.8 million for Darno, so clearly it's a financial thing. Even though the Mets make plenty of money, so it's a mistake. I agree.
When do you have a catcher available on the market when you need a catcher? I mean, this is absurd.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Alderson said he would be on the lookout for a catcher in the spring. We'll see if they get somebody because Darno's not throwing out anybody in the spring. If not, then maybe they'll pick up somebody at the deadline. But, again, we got about a minute. You got anything you want to push? Go ahead and push it.
Hey, absolutely. Today's show brought to you by Klondike Bars. Get your Klondike Bars cool and fresh.
All right. We'll be watching the World Baseball Classic. Nico, thanks, and I'll catch up with you next week.
My man.